Hello and welcome to The On-Call Room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm Abby.
I'm Bree.
It's a beautiful day to podcast.
Welcome, everyone. We are a Grey's Anatomy podcast. We are deep diving every single episode of Grey's. Currently, we are on the season finale of season 18, episode 19 and 20.
Wild.
Wild. Out for blood, and you are the blood. We want to let you know we are a spoilers podcast. So if you are not caught up to season 19, we recommend that you hit pause, go back, watch the entirety of Grey's Anatomy, because we don't want to spoil you.
Yeah. And also, most importantly, if you are enjoying these week-to-week episodes for the most part, we would love your support. You can do so by going to patreon.com/theoncallroom. You can pledge to be an intern, a resident, or an attending. We have bonus episodes. We did one last month on our thoughts on Maggie's last episode. Tonight, although by the time you hear this, it will have already happened, we're having our Zoom hangout with our patrons who we love so much. I really can't wait to see everyone.
I know.
You can get the episode a day early. You get post-op, which is when we call time of death. We continue to podcast for 5 to 10 minutes. Today's topic is going to be our overall thoughts on season 18.
We love to do it.
Yeah. So if you want to hear what we think of it all in general, please stay tuned and listen on the Patreon app. You can also rate and review us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen. It honestly means so much.
It really does. We say this all the time, but truly, how many years is this?
Five?
I think so. Yeah, five. And there is no way that we could still be doing this without the support of our patrons. So really, really grateful. We also started a new thing.
Yes.
And it's called Getting a Second Opinion. And tonight we have a second opinion.
We do.
From Laurel.
Oh.
And they.
This is a surprise to me because he checks the email more than me.
And they sent us a little audio message of why they actually like Owen, which is
I cannot wait.
Yes, which is great because there's a lot of Owen stuff in this episode. So we're gonna hear from Laurel right now.
Hi, Abby and Bree. I thought I would call in because I'm in the minority in that I actually like Owen. And I did not realize that people didn't like Owen until I got on TikTok and everyone was hating on him. And while I agreed that current Owen is definitely not my favorite character, I really liked when Christina was around, and even after she left, when he was with Amelia, because I think that he was a really good support for some of those characters who had trouble opening up and being vulnerable. And while ultimately that kind of was what fell apart with his and Christina's relationship, was that they weren't being totally honest with each other and being open and vulnerable, he is a character who really believes in what he believes in, and he's very strong to those beliefs, and he has a very strong sense of self. And I think that's a really powerful thing because a lot of the characters on Grey's tend to be kind of somewhat morally gray, and they don't really believe in themselves, or if they do, they often change their judgment. And I know that's because of the writing, it's not because of the actors, but I think it makes it really hard to bond with them. So in my opinion, I think that Owen's actually a pretty decent character in early to middle Grey's, but now the whole show's just gone downhill.
Thank you so much.
I love that.
I mean, I still don't like Owen, but I appreciate that people feel safe enough to say that they do like Owen on the podcast.
I stand by this odd statement, which is if they let him be Scottish, my percentage of liking him would go up 50%.
Yeah. And I agree with what Laurel said about he created a lot of space for Amelia and Christina to be vulnerable. However, he's wacky. He is a wacky dude. But we'd love to hear it. That's why it's called Getting a Second Opinion. Yeah. And we called out for that. We said, if you like Owen, let us know why. So thank you for calling in.
Yeah, back when we used to be able to have co-hosts on, which we just aren't physically able to do anymore, we would all also ask people's unpopular opinions.
Yes.
And I feel like that'd be a fun thing to call in if you have more unpopular opinions.
Absolutely.
So do that for us, please. You can do that by emailing us a voice memo at theoncallroom@gmail.com. Yes. And follow us on Instagram at theoncallroompod.
Perfect.
You can. There's lots of weird behind the scenes stuff on there because we don't use it as much anymore. We need to get back in that. But if you go on that, in the highlights, there's stuff from our first few years of podcasting.
Wacky.
Which I got a memory that came up on my time machine this week. That was
What's time machine?
Is that not time machine?
Time hop.
Time hop. I went in my time machine.
Yeah.
No, I think it was like 5 years ago. You lived at the apartment. I don't need to name the street. When you lived upstairs by yourself, the one where the shootout was.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, and we were dancing it out and we videotaped ourselves.
I remember that.
That was there. I had a weird bun in my hair that when I was bouncing, it came out and it literally looked like a little ball sack.
I remember that when we took that video, I felt like really bad about my body and now I would kill to have that body. So perspective.
If you need a lesson in perspective, check that out. Yeah, I look at that too and I was like, wow, we're really young.
Yeah.
Like that's what I thought when I saw it. Or when we went to like Greenwell, their bar near us, and we got shit bombed while we decided to make a Patreon.
Yeah. And now here we are, like two business ladies.
Just two business ladies. Anyways, how are you?
I'm okay. I had a little bit of a rough morning.
I know. I was going to say there's a soul not here today.
Yes. She's still alive.
She's here on planet Earth. She's just not here.
Marge, I think, given a Marge update, we had talked about her having to get her tooth extracted. Yes. Luckily, there is this place in Grand Rapids called C-Snip. And they do like dental work. They got a grant for it. So they do it for much cheaper. I reached out to them and they were like, you're going to have to be on probably a pretty long wait list. And I was like, that's okay. Because the teeth clean, they had to do a teeth cleaning with images
before they can
do the extraction. But the teeth cleaning was $200. Mm-hmm. And then the extraction will be $350. Compared to like my quote of like 2000.
Is the extraction not happening today?
No, okay. Just the teeth cleaning. So, but she still, obviously animals have to go under for that.
They don't just let you brush their teeth.
No. And they have to take images and stuff too to see which teeth they have to pull. Excuse me, Marge,
could you hold still?
Yeah. And she's like, no. So she had to stop eating at midnight last night, which was a real shit show in the household. I took Marge in today and it was really interesting. I don't know, like they had a very efficient system, I feel like, where they, like you get there and there were like a ton of people there and they were like, text this number and then you get put on a list. Oh, I also meant to say, I was supposed to be on a really long wait list and they called me like a week later to get her in. So it was amazing. Let's do it. So yeah, I'm waiting and then they were like, it can take up to like a half hour. So you just sit in the car, but then they like, you come in and it's like really efficient, like you prepay. So, but it felt too fast because I like wanted to say goodbye to her, but I like set her down in her carrier and they put like her intake paperwork over her carrier. She's deaf. So she couldn't hear me say like, bye, Marge. And so I was like, there was someone behind me and I was just like, okay, bye. And so the dogs get to go home at like 4:30, but the cats have to be stay. I don't know. I don't know if there's something about anesthesia with cats, but they have to stay overnight. So I will pick her up at 7:30 in the morning tomorrow. But I got in the car and I texted Abby and I like burst into tears. Aww. And I was like, I can't have children. Like I think part of it was like,
you'll be more annoyed if your children.
I think part of it was like, I had to sign a waiver because she's over 8 years old going under anesthesia and like she's had a lot of weird health issues. And I'm like, what if she fucking dies? And like that was my last goodbye was like her being. Yeah. But I haven't heard anything. So I'm assuming she's fine.
Yeah. I think they'd call you if your cat died.
Yeah. Also weird that they don't like let you know that it went okay. Fine? But I think it's because they roll out a bunch of them. Probably, which is awesome.
That's why it's so affordable. We can't let you know.
Yeah. And they have, but they were really nice. And so anyway, Marge is not here. And I felt bad because last week I was telling you that we were watching my sister's dog. And so he left on Sunday. And so Marge only didn't even have 24 hours of the full house.
Sad day. Where do you put her food when?
I had put it upstairs. Okay. And so I'm pretty sure she's going to be really mad at us when she comes home.
She's probably going to have some things to say.
Yeah. And I wonder, do they like after teeth cleaning, they don't like need like pain meds, right?
No.
McCoy it's just after fine. They do. Has McCoy had any teeth pulled?
Nope, none pulled. They made us think he was going to have like all of them pulled. And then they did a teeth cleaning and they were like, his teeth are great.
Oh, so and maybe her tooth is just like a little infected and they can clean it out. They probably are going to have to pull it.
He was like only six.
Okay, so
they guilted me into it.
Yeah.
So like, your dog is quite old. He's now 12.
And has three legs.
And I don't brush his teeth. So I'm like, I'm sorry, your teeth are probably fucked.
Yeah, that's okay. So anyway, that was my day. But also, you know when you like get up early, like, because that was at like...
Oh, yeah. Starts your day.
Yeah. I was up and I was over by Horrocks. So adventures. I went and bought some stuff for my fairy garden that I'm starting.
Oh, yeah. Bree showed it to me. It is great. There's gnomes. There's hedgehogs. There's fairies.
Yeah.
So frogs. There's a frog.
There's a frog in little houses. And so I bought a few pieces at Horrocks. And then I went to Target. And Target's I went to so Target great. Yesterday, too. And I'm oh, going no. to Target tomorrow.
Oh, no.
It's like, I don't know if you saw in our kitchen, I bought a new lamp.
Oh, I want a kitchen lamp so bad.
Isn't that pretty?
Yeah, that's perfect. I want one so bad.
Yeah,
I feel like you should put it in front of where the cords are, though. Like,
okay, you, well, maybe we'll play around with it.
To hide the outlet. Like, you should move the speaker and the lamp over to the right.
Okay.
So that it blocks the...
Okay, we can play with it later.
Yeah, I don't like cords.
I don't either. And that's, yeah, that doesn't it's look as good. It's a work in progress. It doesn't look as good as it could.
But the ambient lighting is a 10 out of 10.
Thank you.
Also, she got really cool curtains from Target.
Yeah, I put those in the guest room. And then, oh, okay, so this was the thing. So we put all of our patio furniture out over the weekend. Oh, and
now it's raining on your brand new rug.
Which is fine. And then we have these two old plastic Adirondacks that my mom gave us when we moved in. And
oh, they're red. They're always the least chosen when you are here for a hangout.
And so we're getting rid of them and we're maybe potentially moving our one chairs that are up on our upper deck to our lower deck. So then I was like, we need two more chairs for our upper deck. So I really wanted these, like, they were like nicer chairs from Target. But we just bought a new bistro set. I don't have a job. So I was looking at like cheap options and there were like these like $40 like Target's brand Room Essentials, like wiry mesh chairs that like I would put a cushion on. Uh-huh. So I showed John them today and he was like, I mean, fine, but those aren't very nice. And I was like, well, what I really want and there happened to be the chair I really wanted in the photo as well. And I was like, but those chairs are way more expensive. And he was like, well, I could work some overtime this weekend. And I was like, well, I'm not going to tell you to do that. And then he was like, well, if we're going to buy new chairs, why not just get the nice ones that we want instead of, so I got to go back
Snaps
to Target.
To John.
So I got to go back to Target tomorrow.
To go get them.
And he was like, the only thing is I'm not putting them together. And I was like, well, they're already fully put together. And he was like, damn it.
He wanted you to work for
it. Because he's put together all our patio furniture.
You should have, I mean, don't do it now, but it, last week, or maybe it's still going on, it was Wayfair's Way Days. Oh. Everything was like 60 to 80% off. I got, they're going to work fine as bedroom curtains. Is this not the most enthralling information you guys have heard? I'm trying to find curtains that are the same color as my walls. I want my room to feel like a womb, like literally just, I want it to feel really cozy.
Yeah.
It's a hard color to find.
Sure.
And the expensive linen ones I want are just, I just can't afford them right now. But anyways, Wayfair had a sale and they were $11 a panel.
Oh, wow. That is so cheap.
Yeah. But when they came, you can definitely tell they're $11. Like they're supposed to be like linen, but
they're not.
They're almost like shiny.
Okay.
Kind of like, you know how like our grandparents, I feel like had like, it's like a material that's kind of itchy, but shiny.
Yeah.
I don't know. I want to like hang it up and see. I just can't tell. I'm like, should I save? I have blinds. So I don't know.
Well, why couldn't you put them up and then return them? Or you have to open the package.
I just would have to open all. There's six panels. So I opened one and I'm trying to like hold it up there and see
if that's going to work.
Because here's the thing about me. It's like I had really ugly blinds in that room for 7 years. And I kept saying like, I'll get rid of them. Once I hang them up.
They're going to be up.
They're there for a while.
Yeah, I get
so
that.
So I really, I'm like trying to think. But also I'm like so close to feeling like I have a job again.
Yeah.
It's like about to take off. And so maybe I should just wait. But I don't know. They're kind of nice. The color's right. Just the material's weird.
Yeah. So this maybe you'll hold.
Curtains are hard.
Dude, curtains are so hard. I get that. I'm actually, again, super exciting shit right now. I'm going to wash all my curtains this week.
Oh, I do have, that. Yep.
Because I have the week off. And That's then great. I'm going to steam them.
I know. Weren't we going to paint your bathroom today?
Yeah, but... It didn't work.
We'll do it in the summer.
Yeah. The reason I wanted to do it this week was because it was going to be rainy and like
we still could do it.
But in the summer, it's like you want to be outside and stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
But also, I feel like I need John to like do some things in that bathroom that I don't know how to do. Yeah. And so, yeah, we definitely need to like patch some holes and shit like that. So it wouldn't have, I don't know.
It would have been rushed.
Yeah. And we don't want to rush this bathroom. We're just trying to give it a facelift until we can redo
perfect.
It.
Yeah. Perfect.
So anyway, that's how are you?
That was
my day.
No, that's our life. I had a good solo weekend in Chicago. I had a lot of work. I did four shoots, but two engagement shoots. So like two new couples who I hadn't met, and then two families of families I've done, and I did their weddings. So that's always like makes me emotional because I just like their kids know me, this one family. Aww. And like she kept asking if I was going to stay.
Oh, really, and you were cute. Like, no.
Also, their names, I'm not going to give their last name. I don't think they listen to this. I hope they don't. Their daughter's names are Maeve and Daphne. Aren't those cute?
Those are really cute.
I was like, oh, those are fun names. But anyways, they were so great. And so, and I also went to see Into the Woods on a whim.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Because
it was in Chicago, and I was planning to go see it. I wanted to take you, or I wanted to take my mom. Uh-huh. And then I just like forgot about it. And then I was there, and I was like, oh, I wonder when it's playing. And it was there. So I got a ticket. I am ruined by seeing Broadway in the first row because I was like in the balcony and I couldn't see their faces. Mm-hmm. At first I thought it was just my contacts. So then halfway through the show at intermission, I put my glasses on and like took my contacts out. Mm-hmm. And then it was worse. So
don't do that.
So just obviously theater is just fucking expensive, which is annoying. I wish it was more accessible, but if you can see Into the Woods, see it up close because you need to see their faces.
Okay. Did I tell you that Reva and I got tickets and we're going with our mom to Wharton Center to see Jesus Christ Superstar?
Oh, I feel like not with you guys, but I should go so I understand you more.
Yeah. Or you could just watch the movie.
Yeah. What's your into it? The movie?
Is the movie. Okay. Yeah. I've never seen it live.
Okay.
So I'm very excited.
How are you going to not sing?
I don't know.
Both of your moms?
No.
Okay. That's why I was shocked.
No, just her mom and her niece.
Okay, cool.
The four of us are going in June.
So wow.
That'll be fun.
I'm going to watch the movie so I can feel like I can relate. Because if there's ever a time I feel like a third wheel, it's when that topic comes up.
Yeah. I mean, I'll sit down and watch it with you. I feel like
that would be fun.
I'll have to maybe explain some things that are going on.
Like the story of the Bible?
Well, dude, this year when we watched it, because we watch it every Easter, Reva and I got in a real long thing, getting really confused about who was Pontius Pilate and who was Caesar. Uh-huh. They're not the same person. And I was like, I am so confused because like we thought that one of the characters was Caesar, but he's actually Pontius Pilate. Oh. And
I feel like their outfits are similar.
Well, and yeah, and it's because the crowd is saying like, we have no king but Caesar, da-da, Caesar. And so he was Caesar, but he's not. Oh. And so then, yeah. And then we were like, well, they're the same person. And then John was like, they're absolutely not the same person. And it was like, I don't understand the Bible. And then John and I got in a big argument about that Jesus went to hell. And he was like, Jesus did not go to hell. And I said,
you thought he went to hell?
No. He absolutely did. And he descended into hell on the third day.
Before he rose again?
Yeah. And
what'd he do there?
That's the Apostles' Creed or whatever from Catholicism. This is Catholicism. Uh-huh. But so I texted my sister and I was like, dude, Jesus went to hell, right? And she was like, not technically. Oh. He went to like limbo or like to let out the souls because he was like the sacrifice.
Right, right.
Guys, I know nothing about religion. So all of this is old.
We should have your sister on and do a deep dive.
Yeah. But it was like, anyway, I went into a huge deep dive while watching Jesus Christ Superstar. But then I also had to remember it's Jesus Christ Superstar.
It's a musical.
Like, right, it's right. Not. I like was arguing.
Which is also based on the Bible.
Yeah, but I was like arguing points to John. I was like, well, then why is this happening in Jesus Christ Superstar? And he was like, because it's a musical.
That'd be me and Godspell.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so, the one
I don't know if anything I just said was true or right, but also it's related.
Do your own research.
Yeah.
People.
Believe whatever you want.
Yeah.
The point is, watch Jesus Christ Superstar.
Okay. I would like to.
From the 70s.
I need to watch that. I saw remember the live one with Sarah Bareilles?
Yeah. I heard that one. I haven't seen it.
I mean, I didn't know what, I had nothing to judge it upon. So I enjoyed it.
Sure.
And John Legend. Yeah. He was like, but I just love Sarah Bareilles. So mainly I was focused on her.
Yeah. I mean, was she Mary Magdalene?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah. Classic.
And I've been listening to her a lot on the Into the Woods soundtrack.
I didn't realize she was.
Mm-hmm, she's the baker's wife in the new.
Oh.
Like, whatever. I didn't just see her now. She wasn't in it, but.
Got it.
Anyway, so I had a good weekend. And then I drove home. And then Jake made the biggest lasagna I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, fuck yeah.
He was like, there was extra noodles. So then he just kept making layers, which actually he asked for my honest critique at the end. And I was.
Too many layers.
That was my first. I was like, it was just too many layers. And he was like, oh, I added. There was only supposed to be like four or whatever. It was insane.
Too much.
Yeah, I'm going to eat it when I go home. It sounds really good. But honestly, I told him this. Yours is better. Wow. I know. It's the Alfredo.
It's the Alfredo.
And also, do you use beef or just Italian sausage?
I use Italian sausage.
Jake did both. And I said, forget the beef.
Forget the beef. It doesn't have enough flavor to add to the
list. No, I need the spicy Italian sausage.
Thank you.
So that was my two critiques of him, was too many layers and it needed more Italian sausage.
Yeah, and that Alfredo layer.
The beef is literally a waste of time.
But that, I totally agree. And that Alfredo layer really adds, so... Listeners, I swap marinara one layer and then Alfredo the other, and it gives such creaminess.
Do you use ricotta at all?
Uh-huh.
Okay, there's ricotta, ricotta and mozzarella.
Yeah, which is great, but you need that Alfredo.
Yes, that's what I said. And I just, honestly, it was the beef for me that was just like, but what was special is he made homemade bolognese.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then that's what he put in it. So instead of marinara, like he spent 3 hours making sauce.
Oh, Jake.
Honestly, the sauce, I was just eating it out of the bowl. So like.
Good for him.
Yeah. And he didn't even use the instant noodles. He cooked noodles and then made the layers. You know how you can buy the like.
Oh, yeah. I often do the like oven bake ones. Yeah.
Yeah. They're, yeah.
Yeah.
So anyways, we are running out of time.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So let's get into Grey's Anatomy. We are on season 18, episode 19 and 20. Out for Blood. You Are the Blood.
These aired the same day.
Oh, I didn't realize
that. It was
that.
A 2-part finale.
Okay. So 2-part finale. I don't remember that. Do you want to go first or second?
You can go first.
Okay. So monologue, metastatic, advanced, progressed, all words no one wants to hear from the doctor. It means despite everything you've done, every rule you followed, you may never near the end or you may never be near the end.
You may be near the end.
Shush. it doesn't matter. You may be near the end. It's the moment when fear sets in. You panic as you realize you may not survive. It's why people turn to experimental treatments and last ditch efforts. If you knew you were dying, what would you do? If someone gave you a lifeline, would you take it? We've all felt it, a moment where all is lost. Whether it's in our jobs, family, love, we fear everything will be taken. We close our eyes, we bite our lips, and the adrenaline floods through our body. But despite how hard you try, that last-ditch attempt still may not work. Meredith Grey.
Before the advent of surgery, many illnesses were treated with phlebotomy, also known as bloodletting. Bloodletting is the withdrawal of blood from a patient to prevent or cure illness and disease. It was one of the most common medical practices performed by surgeons from ancient Greece until the late 19th century. The practice has largely been abandoned because we now know that in the overwhelming majority of cases, the use of bloodletting is harmful to patients. And yet, we did it as a standard medical practice for over 2,000 years. It wasn't a blip in the history of medicine, it was an era. For decades, many doctors were convinced that bloodletting was harming more than it helped, but just as many were convinced that it was only a cure. Doctors, like most human beings, are risk-averse. We prefer the safety of what we know over the thrill of new innovations. Surgeons and doctors, as a general rule, like to know for sure that we are right before we make a move. And so, for us, change requires incontrovertible proof, which is not always easy to come by. It has been theorized that surgery itself is just an era that will pass, but that's a long way away. And in the meantime, there are eras within eras. We discover new science, we posit, prove new theories, and when we bang our heads against the wall trying to convince ourselves to actually change our practices in line with what we know. Because the end of an era is easier said than done. Meredith Grey.
Shotgun workup, we have Simon Clark, metastatic synovial sarcoma.
Cora James, pancreatic head tumor.
Catherine Fox, chondrosarcoma.
Kristen Clark, pregnancy, placental abruption.
Rounds. All right. A new military husband comes to Owen and Teddy and asks for the same drugs that they gave Heather Young's husband. Owen and Teddy deny him this, but offer to help him relocate his wife somewhere that it's legal to perform death by dignity. He threatens to tell the police about Owen's crimes, and after he is turned down, he heads directly to Bailey's office to tell her what Owen did. Bailey comes in and finds Teddy and Owen packing. Teddy refuses to raise her children alone and can't think of anything to do except leave the country before they are arrested.
The medical team finds out that Simon has more lung mets, and they end up putting him on ECMO to make sure he has enough time to stay alive and meet his son. His wife, Kristen, has a placental abruption, and they have to rush her immediately to surgery to deliver the baby and save her. Both her and Simon require a massive amount of blood to stay alive, and Simon gives up his share to save her life. The clock is ticking for Simon to stay awake and alive long enough to meet his son, and in the last second, Winston is able to bring him to Simon just so he can say goodbye.
Meredith takes on a risky operation on a patient named Cora. She wants to perform an entire surgery on the...
I want to know before Brie reads this, I don't actually know if this is what the surgery was.
It doesn't matter because this is what we say it is. She wants to perform... an entire surgery on the organs when they are removed from the body and then put them back in. I think that's right. Right? It's like they were going to do a Whipple, but then they, yeah. Okay.
Can you define what a Whipple is? Because I can't.
Absolutely not. Okay. It's incredibly dangerous, though. And the patient is someone who is currently caring for her aunt who raised her and has dementia. Also, Mac's mom from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh, my God. You're so right. I did not put that together. Oh,
she's afraid that if she doesn't make it, no one will be there to care for her. She decides to take the risk and let Meredith perform the surgery. Richard has told Meredith she cannot do the surgery because the examiner is coming to Gray Sloan and because it is too risky. Meredith does it anyway. There are complications halfway through and they have to pause until more blood arrives. Just then, Bailey gets a call from Ben that her blood delivery was in an accident and it's all trashed. They bring Cora to the ICU, but she starts going into organ failure and they lose her. When Meredith is telling her aunt that Cora is gone, she gets a flashback of when her mother wasn't lucid and couldn't remember who she was. Nick accuses Meredith of moving ahead on the surgery when maybe it wasn't the best idea. At the end of the day, Nick finds Meredith in her new office, the chief's office. She is upset and she tells Nick that maybe he should just go back to Minnesota where his life is. He says that he understands it's hard to leave the place you grew up in and that he didn't tell her to stop doing the surgery because she doesn't like to be told she's wrong. Nick storms out and Meredith tries to run after him, but he doesn't come back.
I don't know. It's not called a medical examiner, but I couldn't think of the name. So I'm going to call her the medical examiner.
That's great.
Comes back to Grace Sloan to see if any work has been done on the things she told them to fix. She starts out hopeful and then she sees that all of the residents are giving blood and then finds out that Meredith Gray is leaving. She sees Richard go above Bailey. She sees Meredith go ahead of Richard. And in general, she sees that the hospital is functioning more like a dysfunctional family with the boundaries of who in charge being blurred. After learning that Teddy and Owen are also leaving, she tells Bailey that the residency program must end and she will help the residents find new placements. Bailey hands Meredith the keys to her office and says she is quitting and that Meredith is going to be chief.
Winston is still upset about his brother and it is causing major tension between him and Maggie. He accuses Maggie of not knowing what it's like to have siblings and she ends up telling him that she believes they got married too soon without knowing each other well enough. After a heartbreaking surgery with Simon and Kristen, they sit in the car together and vow to try and save their love. They say that maybe they didn't get married too soon, but that they needed to keep learning from each other.
Joe breaks up with Todd after they spend the first night together. Apparently, when they had sex, Todd sang one long note loudly when he orgasmed, which woke up Luna. Joe was turned off by this and ended things. At the end of the day, Joe invites Link to bring Scout and hang out at their house, reigniting their friendship.
Amelia is heartbroken over Kai leaving and spills her feelings to April, who is visiting the hospital with Jackson and Harriet to be there for Catherine. April tells Amelia that sometimes love comes back around, and when April leaves the hospital with Jackson, they kiss in the elevator. When Amelia is getting into her car, someone approaches her, and it's Kai. Kai says they can't sleep, and immediately the two embrace and kiss.
And kiss. Right. First note.
Mine is dream sequence with Mare and Ellis in surgery.
Yeah, I said Ellis really actually is a huge part of the show.
Yeah, she comes back quite a bit.
More than I realized, I think. Like, it felt so rare, but it's like she came back twice this season.
I feel like there was like a time period where she didn't for a while. And then when she came back and was clapping when she won
now that. Now it's been Catherine just Fox. Never ending.
Yeah.
Because she came back in season 19.
Yeah.
With Maggie leaving and she came back. With the Maggie episode in this season and now this one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although it was flashbacks mostly, but still.
Yeah, but this is, yeah. But this one was her.
Yeah.
Coming. I mean, it was a dream, but she's still obviously coming back. Yeah.
Yes. So also, I just want to premise this is 30 days later. So we like skipped the 30 days where they supposedly made all the changes. And Nick has been in Seattle for 30 days.
Yes.
Okay. What storyline do you feel like was... How did you feel about the episode, I guess, as a whole?
Yeah, it was interesting. I felt like I know we don't often talk about patients a lot, but I felt like the Simon patient, that was, I remember that being really sad, and it still was. There was one thing that really annoyed me about it.
I wonder if it's the same thing that annoyed me. You go first.
I feel like the story she was telling the doctors drove me crazy because I'm like, doctors would not listen to this.
We said this when we reacted to it.
Yeah. No,
three surgeons were sitting in there listening to her tell her love story.
And it was the longest story
and
ever.
And it kind of was annoying.
It's super annoying.
Yeah. Like, I would say overall, the entire storyline I really liked. Simon was an incredibly believable character to me. And like, just everything about them. But like...
She did it twice.
The goodbye like, forever, or what is it?
Yeah, the first time, even before that, when they were like talking to her about putting him on ECMO, she was like, I know him better than I know myself. Like, she talked for a really long time then.
And then they're like, so what do you want us to do? Just put him on ECMO.
Yeah, and then the second time, was when she would told the story about like the attic that she thought was haunted. I was like, we don't care.
It was devastating when he did not want to be intubated.
I know.
Because he thought if he was... that's the end, essentially.
And he wouldn't meet his son.
Right. And then I forgot, like, okay, also, I don't ever imagine if a blood vehicle crashed, would every single bag open up like that into the rain?
Yeah.
What are the odds that every single bag
exploded? Exploded.
That was wild. But yeah, I enjoyed that patient storyline quite a bit.
I did too. So I liked that. I liked... there were some, we know we love a flashback. Mm-hmm. And I did like some of them. I was having a hard time correlating some things that I felt like, what are we, like, I felt like it was really interesting. Like, she was having flashbacks of Derek when she was working on Cora. And I was like, how do these align?
It felt to me, okay, so when Richard was yelling at her, it flashed back to what I believe is the same scene when Derek and Richard found out that she messed with the trial.
Yes.
And so it was almost like she was being scolded at. So to me, it felt like she was like feeling like she was in this place where I'm a grown-up, but yet everyone is fucking yelling at me.
Oh, that part made sense to me. Okay. I'm talking about the part where she was actually doing like code on Cora.
Uh-huh.
She flashes to when Derek got shot.
Oh, right. And you can go now. Like when...
Yeah. So I don't know. I was just like, Cora doesn't seem like that big of a patient that she would be like to Derek.
I don't know about the Derek, but to me it was completely like her mom. Like Cora was taking... So yeah, the Derek one I don't know, but like Cora and the woman, her aunt, was a reflection of Meredith and her mom.
Yes.
For sure. I just like got really, I'm trying to find my note. I got really emotional when it flashed back to when she went to tell the aunt that Cora died. I'm trying to find, the woman says who, and then it shows Ellis doing the like the carousel never stops turning.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know the correlation to Derek, I guess. I thought too that the end giant flashback where like she's sitting at the desk. And it goes through that, which this is also the 400th episode of Grace. So I think that's also very important as to why there were so many flashbacks.
Okay.
But to me, that last flashback, it showed memories of Nick. It showed memories of internship. It showed like memories of Alex, the locker room, everything. It felt like what should have been what she thought when she left in season 19.
I totally agree because my last note.
It was all happy memories. It felt like.
It was like, no, there were some like bad ones.
Okay.
There was like when she got the bomb and stuff. End of an era is easier said than done. That is the monologue. And all of those flashbacks and shit, I was like, they should have just ended the show here. And I wondered, were they not signed on for 19 yet?
I don't know. I don't know the story of it. I mean, it's weird to leave it in such disarray. I had thoughts of, too, like, if they could have somehow wrapped this up in a different way. Because even, like, right before Nick comes back to talk to Meredith, it says the Christina, he's very dreamy, but he is not the son.
Yeah.
Also, okay, I was going to talk about this in post-op and I still kind of will, but mostly I just had this overarching feeling of like, which I hadn't thought about before, is that Meredith wants to leave, but she's getting, like she says to Jackson, like, why do you get to leave? Like, why whatever? And I want to make sure I say this right, but it felt like, we've talked about it feels like a reflection of Ellen.
Mm-hmm.
Like everyone is left. I'm the only one here. And I don't know if it's Richard or if it's Nick, who the fuck says that she needs to, Jackson is like, you can leave, but first stay and help us get set up so that when you're gone, it doesn't crumble. And I kind of felt like, whoa, like, is that what Ellen did in season 19? Where they kind of like, we will let you leave, but you need to stay one little more time because this isn't the most accurate send off. And then like, then we'll be okay. And I felt like it's like the new red. It just felt really like it matches up so much with what really happened.
Yeah. With like the actual person, Ellen Pompeo.
Right.
Yeah. I thought there were some really harsh words that Richard said to her.
I know.
Is he the one who says it's always all about Meredith Grey?
Yeah. He says something like that.
Which is just so hurtful.
Yeah. And I don't think Meredith's intention has she's not thinking selfishly. I actually don't think, or maybe this is the first time she is, you know?
Well, and also I don't think like, cause he's mad about like, I told you not to do the
surgery,
And because we had these people coming and I think I have a line here about what she says. Oh, Richard says today is not the day to go rogue. And Mira says, maybe it's not going rogue. Maybe it's cutting edge, and cutting edge is exactly what we need to save the program. I really do feel like she believes that.
Right.
And then it doesn't go well. And then the medical examiner finds out that Meredith is leaving. And so that gets added on top of it. Like, it's not Meredith's fault that the program has failed. And I don't think it's her fault that the program has failed by her doing that surgery. But Richard right. takes all of that out on Meredith, which is like a consistent thing that has happened throughout Grey's, is Richard takes his shit out on Meredith.
And then Bebop's out of that hospital smiling, which was weird.
And they're going to the pyramids.
Yeah, but also I feel like it was really interesting to hear Meredith say, we've never heard this before, I don't think, that she says, my mom didn't want me to come here. And she's like, and she says, you know, I don't, maybe she didn't think Richard was capable of teaching me, but also it was, she's like, maybe she just didn't want to air her dirty laundry.
Right.
But I don't know. There's this part I wrote, Richard accuses Meredith of killing the residency program. She's hearing the same speech that they gave her when she messed with Derek's trial. That's when that same thing. And then it says, Ellis would finally be proud of you. Richard uses that as like a dig.
Yes.
Like now you're like your mother.
Right.
Richard is taking it out on Meredith, and it just doesn't make sense. And it's a very low hit to bring up her mom.
I totally agree with you. And I think around the same time, we're getting those flashbacks of like where Ellis was saying, I raised you to be an extraordinary person. Mm-hmm. And come to find out you're no more than ordinary. And that's around the same time. I mean, maybe not the exact moment of like Richard being like, Ellis would be proud of you now because she is choosing this crazy surgery instead of.
And not worrying about anyone else is what he thinks.
Right.
I loved the flashback that went up to the original interns in the gallery and that line when it's like, that's us down there. That speech that Meredith gives in like season one. That's one of us on there. Also, in the beginning of that episode, it's playing the Frey song.
Uh-huh.
It says like, where did I go wrong? I lost a friend. Like, that's intense. All the songs in this episode, when there's a line from the, where does the good go? It says, how do you know when to let go? Where does the good go? And I feel like, again, it's just, I'm digging deep here for things that aren't there, but it's like, how do you know when to let go? Like, what is this show trying to do? Like, when is it okay to let go? When is it okay for Meredith to move on?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So that's like the Meredith storyline.
Like the main thing.
The main thing.
Sucks we never get to see her be chief for very long.
Yeah. Because, in the end, Bailey said, you broke it, you buy it, and gives her the keys. And then Jackson's like, you're going to be chief. And she's like, Bailey's going to be back. So fine, be interim chief. And, I mean, what did you think about we should talk about briefly the Nick scene where.
At the end?
Yeah.
I felt like actually what he said made more sense to me this second watch. He says, you spent your entire adult life in one place and that makes it hard to leave. And sometimes we all don't know what's driving us. And then she's like, well, why didn't you say something to me? And he says, I had enough humility and respect to know to know he might be wrong. Oh, to know he might be wrong. He's like, I thought maybe I was wrong and that like he didn't want to stop her. I don't know. It's weird to know that he did hear her, we find out in season 19, when she yells his name.
Yeah.
And he doesn't come. I mean, I thought it was crazy how she suddenly was just like, go back to Minnesota. Like, she's clearly grieving and having a hard time and feeling like she's the only one that can fix this. And her, like, defense is pushing everyone away.
You know what? I think the go back to Minnesota, again, I'm digging deeper here. Maybe something's that's not there. But we have all of those flashbacks, and some are really good and some are like really bad. And then we have the right before that Christina thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have like maybe who Meredith kind of is at her core of like pushing people away.
Mm-hmm.
And then in a moment, she is flashing through her life at Gray Sloan and then is like, fuck, I actually want to be with him. And so I'm going to push past this, and then runs after him. And so like, maybe it's supposed to show us like through all of those flashbacks, like she has grown to a place where like she will chase after someone. Like,
and then she doesn't, which makes no sense.
Yeah. That's why like, I feel like it would make, yeah, more sense if next season, if.
Well, all of those clips were of relationships, friendships, marriage. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Like, I don't know if she's trying to save him from like the scariness of Seattle, you know, like she's going through all, he says that line, like you have trauma, like you more than your fair share.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's still, I'm still kind of confused by this.
I'm too. I agree.
So it just ends really weird. Also, I was confused. So when they close the residency program and it shows, it's Reyes, right? I always forget his last name.
Who?
The intern.
I don't know who you're talking about.
There's Schmidt, Helm, Mabel, and then Reyes.
Perez.
Thank you. I'm like, I'm not, I know that's not right. The four of them are like looking in the window. Like they are the one, they are the resident,
Yep.
But then like Helm and Schmidt stay. So the other two left. I get confused. It gets what really happened.
It gets really, really confusing. I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah. But that's why we don't see Perez anymore. Clearly.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's like the big storyline. I feel like we should touch on some like smaller ones.
Fucking love the Teddy Owen storyline. I wish there had been an entire season of them on the run.
Did you see that TikTok where Teddy?
About Christina.
Yeah.
They were going to go to Switzerland. I'm like, okay, maybe you dreamed that. Sandra Oh is not. She would have not done that.
Maybe they could have like written that in the story.
Right.
And like not even.
It still would have been lame.
Yeah,
like
I
this
agree.
New in season 19, the like Yang leaving the note for Addison.
Yeah.
Bailey. I was like, I don't need references like this if they don't seem.
Legitimate.
Yeah. But I would have fucking loved a season of them on the run.
It would have been
how
funny.
Much more exciting. Instead, yeah. He just comes back and they like have bad sex and he's on probation.
Yeah, I feel really bad. I felt really bad for Amelia in that moment.
Oh, and they're leaving at the bar.
Yeah, and she's just like, you can't leave me. And they're like, we will call you when we can. Because everyone's leaving her. And
same as season 19.
When she says, so yeah, before I get into Amelia, the Owen Teddy thing. I mean, I was really happy that like Owen went to Teddy when this other guy showed up, and then
he would have just given the drugs again. He
yeah.
was about to.
And then, yeah, then Teddy comes up with this idea and they try and talk to this John guy, and then he's super upset. And so Owen was like about to say, I'll see what I can do. And Teddy was like, no, we can't do this. What do you think about Bailey just letting him go?
It seems like what she would do.
Yeah.
But I felt so bad for her that she is like, are you fucking kidding me right now?
Seriously.
Do you want to talk about?
I was going to talk about Amelia when she's talking to
April.
Well, before she's talking to April or before or after, I don't know, when she's talking to Maggie, they're giving blood.
Mm-hmm.
And she says to Maggie that something along the lines of how her body aches. Mm-hmm. And I was like, dude, breakups do make your body ache. Like, I haven't felt that in a really long time. Like that type of like
sickness.
Yeah, that like heartache. But when you can't talk to the person who like
you would normally want to.
Yeah.
Like
breakups fucking suck. And I'm like, you know, I hope that I never have to break up again. But I feel like that's just, I like really resonated with that because I could think about this one boyfriend that I had when we broke up and just laying in my bed and it physically aching.
I know I have a friend going through a really intense breakup, like 7 or 8 years.
Yeah.
And it's been like 6 months, but the process, I'm just like, oh, that's like.
Yeah.
It's full body.
So.
Did you like, I'm skipping ahead, then we can go back. Did you like the conversation she has with Link? Because I did.
I have the quote.
Go for it.
Amelia apologizes to Link and she says, Link, I'm sorry. I broke your heart and you felt blindsided and I had forgotten exactly how badly that hurts. If I had remembered, I would have handled things a lot differently. I'm sorry. To which he responds, I never would have had a kid. I'm too cynical and the world is too dark. But you gave me Scout and my heart cracked open and my world got a little lighter. You gave me a son and I get to be his dad. So I don't hate you. I love you. Just not in the painful way anymore. Which is like, oh, I could cry. When he said that, I like got teary eyed.
Yeah, I loved that scene so much. I don't think Link is a bad guy.
No.
I think he just hasn't done enough therapy. But that moment was really lovely. And also I love to think about in the future, which I think we see, like they can parent Scout in a loving way.
And I like that Amelia acknowledged the pain that she caused. And I think that really allowed Link to forgive and open his heart to them being co-parents. And so
I'm mad that I remember loving when Kai came back.
Uh-huh.
But now I'm mad again because why the fuck was the point of it?
And then they're
just going to have the same thing happen. Mm-hmm. Kai and Amelia wanting different things.
Yeah.
It makes it like less impactful because it already sort of happened.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like too, they never really addressed it in season 19 about the kid thing.
Right, right.
Like Kai wasn't on the show very much. And so
a lot of FaceTimes.
And so I felt like they never really addressed, and maybe I'm missing a scene in my head, but it was very like, I love that Amelia just ran to their arms and like jumped in.
That scene was like, woo, goosebumpy.
Yeah.
I just
feel, and just the line, I can't sleep.
Oh, I like got goosebumps at that. I saw a really great interview somewhere. Maybe it was on the person who plays Kai. I can't think of their name. It was on, I was like stalking their Instagram the other day. I realized I didn't follow them. And then I went down like a deep hole.
Yeah.
And it was some interview and they were talking about how there's not been a character. Well, there hasn't been a non-binary character, but also like the relationship is flipped in a way where there's always been these like brooding men, like the Mark, the Derek, the like Burke, the who are like sort of in control of the relationship, and the like in that hetero relationship, like the female is like just like desperate for them. And like, and the person that plays Kai, I feel so bad, I can't remember their name, was talking about how like that was the model for this relationship. Like Kai sort of had this like brooding, like I'm actually in charge of this relationship. And like, I thought that was really interesting because they were saying like, A, there's never been that with a non-binary character, and B, there's also never been that like with a woman.
Yeah.
And like either of those two options. And so I thought that was really cool because I do get that vibe from them. Like they are like, you're almost intimidated.
Yes.
We've talked about that. Like so sexy, so like just sure of themselves.
Yes.
And so, I don't know, I thought that was interesting.
That is really interesting. And I can definitely see
that. And it feels like Amelia's at the whim of this.
You know? Like swept
off her feet. Yeah, swept, that's what they'd use. Yeah. Like talk about being swept off your feet.
Yeah.
So.
Yes, I can totally see that. Wow, that's really interesting.
I know.
I love the conversation too with April about how love comes back around. And I remember we were like wondering, will Jackson and April be together? I'm sorry. Like, thank you. Fan service. I was happy to see them.
The way grab they did it, not in front of other people, I also loved.
Yeah. I thought it was great. I stand by it.
Hell
still
of a
love
day.
It.
Hell
yeah.
Of a day.
Hell of a day.
I thought I also stand by that. I do think it's hilarious that Catherine would have them eulogize her while she's alive.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I actually still think that's funny.
I also feel like that is so true to Catherine's character.
Yeah. And also, I would like that.
Yeah. To tell me all the nice things about
exactly.
me.
Why do we wait till we're gone?
But then Catherine is back to living with cancer, not dying from cancer. So they're going to go see the pyramids together. Yeah, they were jolly as fuck.
Richard walking out as if the whole hospital wasn't lighting on fire behind him. Like he was, that was the worst acting I've ever seen James Pickens Jr. do. He was just smiling like he was in a school photo.
It was, and she was too. And they just kept like looking at
it
each other.
So
I'm like,
weird.
That's not what people do.
Yeah. I'm glad Todd is gone.
Dude, that teddy bear.
Yeah.
The sex bear?
Sex
Who
bear.
Does that?
Why'd that one guy take it?
I don't know. That's really funny. He was like cleaning.
He's like, do you want a sex bear? And he's like, I mean, just a bear. And the guy was like, okay. Yeah,
like, I would be like, absolutely not. Like, if I had sex with someone and then they, like, I understand, like, gifts are some people's love language. But this huge bear at my place of work in the middle of the day, don't do that. We are adults.
No.
Don't do that. Yeah. And he was like, but we had sex. Like,
I know. Poor little guy.
I don't think we ever see him again. Happy that Link and Joe are friends again.
They're going to go watch Encanto together.
And he's and Link's going to sing
every word. Link actually is a good singer. Everyone should watch Nashville. Oh, so, you would breeze through it so fast.
I don't doubt it.
I think you would get really into it. Like going a weird, like, I don't know what would happen, but it would happen fast.
All right, fine. Maybe I'll do it.
And then all summer, you're going to listen to country music.
I can't do it. I already, because my brother-in-law loves country music and he's the one who owns the boat. And so all summer long, we have to listen to country.
It makes sense on a boat. Mm. And like with a drink in a hand, it's less obnoxious. Like the winter, I cannot.
Yeah, that's true. To those who like country, good for you. Fine. But I love
90s women's country.
100%. I was very into country when I was younger. But like, it's like, who's the guy who played at?
Give me some more.
Played at Trump's inauguration.
Kid Rock.
No.
I bet he was there though.
He was the only one.
Oh, I don't know. I almost said Gavin DeGraw.
I don't want to be.
Dude, Gavin DeGraw is having a comeback in my Spotify. He always had a place in my heart. But Chariot.
Oh, Chariot.
It's such a good song.
Okay.
Who played at Trump's inauguration? Oh.
It's not on here.
No, I don't think. He played at Biden's.
Who?
Was it Faith Hill's husband? Tim McGraw?
No, Tim McGraw. I love Tim McGraw.
It was, I believe, in all. Okay, Jennifer Lopez.
I might be wrong about this. Toby Keith.
Did he play at Trump's?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Dead to me.
Yeah.
I had a weird phase where I was really into Luke.
Oh.
The guy that wears ball caps backwards.
Yeah.
Like I saw him in concert.
Yeah.
Can't even think of his last name now. I had
it was
during my Nashville phase.
I do love Tim McGraw, and I do love a Tim McGraw Faith Hill duet.
Yeah, yeah.
Love it. I also love Keith Urban.
Suds in the Bucket.
Oh,
Sarah Evans.
I love Keith Urban too, and I love how much he loves Nicole Kidman. I love it so much. The way he straightens his hair. Thriving.
There are Keith Urban songs that instantly transport me to seventh grade.
Take like, my records, take your freedom. Take your memories.
There's this singer, Alicia Elliott. I don't think she ever made it big. She had one. She was like during the Sarah Evans era.
Sure.
It was, you know, I don't know about you, but I had a boombox in my room.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, like multi-CD boombox. Yeah,
I had a five changer.
Yes, and my alarm would be connected to like whatever the first song of that CD would always play. Oh. And it's this Alicia Elliott CD. And whenever I hear that song, I'm like, it's time to wake up and go to school. I have a visceral reaction to it. We should have a whole music episode where we talk about like weird phases.
We could do a bonus episode on that. But we could also talk about the music of Grey's Anatomy.
Which was great in this episode.
Yeah, I feel like the second episode was really good.
That was the 400th.
Yeah, with like a lot of covers.
Where does the good go? Yeah. Oh, thank you for doing notes and trivia. I forgot to put that there. Or maybe I did it.
No, that was you.
Okay.
Okay, should we, do you have anything else to say about this episode?
We'll talk about our full thoughts on the season and post-op. We don't know what we're going to do next, so stick around.
Stick around, kids.
This is an adventure. Uncharted territory. I'll start.
Great.
This episode's title originated from the song Out for Blood, originally sung by Sum 41.
Dude.
Talk about an era.
Do you remember that song that they, mom should have had an abortion. And I remember being like, I can't play this around my mom.
I probably was.
I don't want to waste my. It wasn't that. That was Sum 41, right? It was society.
I don't know. Let's listen afterwards.
This episode scored 4.19 million viewers.
The blood shortage was foreshadowed in Should I Stay or Should I Go? And Amelia orders 3 additional units despite knowing there was a shortage. Didn't know that.
Danielle Sav, mm-hmm. who plays Maya Bishop on Station 19, shadowed Kevin McKidd as he directed the episode.
The episode's title originated from the song You Are the Blood, originally sung by Castanets.
It scored 4.19 million viewers.
It ends with a special title card with 400 added beside the series title against a background of stills from the show's rich history.
Did it?
It did. I saw it.
I don't remember that. The episode features a cover of Where Does the Good Go by Luca Fogel. The artist shared on Instagram that all net proceeds of sales and streaming of his recording will be donated to the Tegan and Sarah Foundation, a foundation set up by the song's original artists that aims to improve the lives of LGBTQ+ women and girls.
All of Jesse Williams' scenes were filmed on one day, given his limited availability due to his Broadway play.
In an interview about her appearance on the episode, Sarah Drew said it was pitched to her that April has also taken on a role with the Fox Foundation.
When asked about any future appearances, Sarah said the final scene with Jackson in April left many cast and crew members wondering if Sarah was coming back next season, though that wasn't discussed with her on any kind of official capacity. She said she would always be willing to return for more, yet preferably in a guest star capacity due to other projects she's working on.
All right, Catherine Fox Award.
No one. No one wins this episode except Catherine Fox herself. I would say maybe April and Jackson.
April and Jackson did a great job. Amelia apologized.
Let's do Amelia. And then Kai came back. She really won it out, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Let's do Amelia.
Okay. Rating it. I'm going to be generous just because I'm in the mood. I'm going to do 7.5. Like that last episode, because of the flashbacks, I would consider watching again.
Sure. I would probably do like a 7. Okay. And I feel like the Simon episode, like besides the what we talked about
besides
with her,
his wife.
Yeah. But like, I thought that was a really moving story. So I would go 7.
All right.
Okay. Stick around. If you are a $10 patron for Post-Op, we are going to talk about overall thoughts of season 18. Otherwise, stick around. We'll be probably back. We'll let you know what we're doing.
Yeah, we got to figure it out, but we'll be back. Time of death is 1955. Beep. Beep.